Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The man at the center of an Amber Alert is due in court in just a couple hours. What we have learned about Dustin Oakley. Plus.
Let's finish this job. I know we can. Because this is the United States of America. There's nothing, simply nothing we cannot do if we do it together.
President Biden officially launches his re-election bid today, the reason behind his decision.
And he was a groundbreaking singer, actor, and activist. Today, the nation remembers Harry Belafonte and his life lived without regret. The man behind the kidnapping that triggered an Amber Alert is due in court this afternoon. Hello to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. The 5-year-old girl is back safe with her family after the car she was riding in was stolen around 8:30 last night in Chapel Hill. A man was arrested more than an hour away in Lillington.
This noon, we know the identity of that man. And Chelsea Donovan is outside the Orange County Courthouse with what she's learned about his prior arrests. Chelsea.
Jeff, we're actually in the shopping center where that 5-year-old girl was taken. It's right behind me. We're in the Eastgate Shopping Center here in Chapel Hill, and this is where police say that 28-year-old Dustin Oakley stole a car with a 5-year-old girl inside. The driver of that car had gone into one of these shops here, and Chapel Hill police issued an Amber Alert for Ariel just before 10:30 p.m. Now, this is 28-year-old Dustin Oakley, arrested around 11:30 last night by Chapel Hill police. That police department charged him with first-degree kidnapping, felony larceny, misdemeanor larceny, possession of a stolen motor vehicle, and felony possession of stolen goods. Police say they then found the little girl at a Sheetz gas station in Lillington, which is about an hour from this location. Now, that Amber Alert was canceled after Ariel was found safe in Harnett County. This morning, I spoke to an employee of a business here in this shopping center who saw all of the commotion last night outside her window.
It's pretty scary. Like, I always think about stuff like that happening, but it doesn't usually like happen right where I am or in the same area. So to think that I was like right there is scary, and my heart was breaking for the girl. And
now Oakley will appear in front of an Orange County judge at 2 p.m. this afternoon. He's currently jailed under a $510,000 bond. Jeff.
Glad that little girl is safe. Chelsea Donovan live in Chapel Hill this noon. Chelsea, thank you.
He's running. This morning, President Joe Biden released a video making it official on the fourth anniversary of his 2020 campaign announcement. As Bree Jackson reports, the president says he's running again to finish the job he started.
So if you're with me,
it's official.
That's why I'm running for re-election.
Sources tell NBC News, finish the job will be a key theme of Mr. Biden's re-election campaign.
Freedom. Personal freedom is fundamental to who we are as Americans.
There's nothing more important, nothing more sacred.
The president, building upon the central theme of his 2020 campaign, battle for the soul of the nation. Even before making an official announcement, the president's top political foe weighed in. In a lengthy statement, former President Donald Trump blames Biden for record numbers of immigrants crossing the southern border illegally and for inflation hurting American families' finances, setting up a potential Biden-Trump rematch, something our latest NBC News poll shows most voters do not want, nor do they want Mr. Biden to run again.
But if he's the front runner, then he's the one I'm going to vote for.
Donald Trump is so much worse. If there was somebody younger and sharper running for president for the Democrats, I would probably prefer them over Joe Biden.
Mr. Trump's support among the GOP is growing, despite being indicted on charges of falsifying business records. 68% of Republicans say the charges are politically motivated.
And today, President Biden will hold an event here in Washington, D.C., where he's expected to highlight his investments in manufacturing and jobs created under his administration, a possible preview of his pitch to voters moving forward. In Washington, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
And in a statement, the Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel said Biden's reelection would lead to higher inflation, crime rates, and drug trafficking. And former Vice President Mike Pence is visiting the Triangle to speak at UNC Chapel Hill's Carolina Union tomorrow. He says he'll speak about, quote, saving America from the woke left. After he speaks, Pence will hold a Q&A. A UNC student coalition led by UNC's Young Democrats will hold a counter rally against the Pence event. Pence says that he'll make a decision about if he will challenge Donald Trump in the upcoming presidential election before late June.
More rain is on the way. Not today, but by Friday and Saturday. It'll be the eighth weekend in a row that we get rain. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is here with a look at when that rain will begin.
We have several waves that are going to move through that bring the opportunity for rain. I think the best chance for rain will be Friday, and that's with this system. As it swings through, we could have some heavy rain, maybe even some thunderstorms. We do have some high resolution model data just in. I added a 20% chance for a shower late this evening. Most of you are going to stay dry. I wanted to just let you know that there is the potential for maybe a couple of sprinkles. That's about it. Nothing to cancel any outdoor plans over. So 20% chance for rain over the next 3 days, but Friday, plan for the rain, an 80% chance for rain. The rain chance goes down to 20% Saturday, but it goes right back up to a 60% chance on Sunday. Let's focus on Friday, because I think it's going to be a mess. Friday morning at 4 a.m., most of the activity over western North Carolina starts to creep into our western counties by the morning commute around 8 o'clock Friday morning. And then as we progress through the day, that continues to push to the east. And at lunchtime, most of the area dealing with rain. We could have some pockets of heavy rain and some storms as well. 6 o'clock in the evening Friday, we could still have rain on the radar for the evening commute. So again, Friday is going to be a mess. That next wave will arrive Sunday. I'll walk you through that with Futurecast coming up in just a little bit.
Leaders at the State House have postponed a bill that would have limited when and how sex education can be taught in North Carolina schools. The bill scheduled to be debated this afternoon would have banned any teaching about reproductive health or safety before seventh grade. Most students have already reached puberty by that point. The bill would also forbid teaching sex education to students unless their parents have signed a permission slip. The bill was removed from today's hearing after WRAL began reporting on it this morning. Committee leaders are not saying why it was postponed.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, the next steps in the search for Wake County School's new superintendent. Just about an hour or so ago, the school board releasing information about the status of that search. One day after the deadline, the board reported receiving 27 applications from people in 13 different states and territories. The next steps include reviewing the applications and then moving into the interview phase. Current Superintendent Kathy Moore announced her retirement back in February. Now, we checked with the school board to determine if the plan is to have a superintendent in place by the school year starting in the fall. We'll let you know what we hear back.
All right. Thank you, Ken. House and Senate Democrats gathered today at the state legislature calling for action on gun, school and community safety measures. The Build Safer Schools and Community Act would advance popular gun safety reforms. It would boost mental health support in schools and also provide funding for crisis intervention. The lawmakers were joined by Raleigh Police Chief Estella Patterson, who echoed calls for action.
This bill is an effort to prioritize the safety needs of our residents through robust investments in law enforcement, important policy related to school safety and student support, and overdue gun control measures.
North Carolinians who want a handgun no longer need to get permission first from their local sheriff.
We're working to learn more about an officer-involved shooting that left a man dead in Robeson County. WRL's Brian Schrader has been gathering new details all morning. Brian?
Jeff, the state is investigating that shooting this afternoon. Now, here's what we've learned in the past couple of hours. Lumberton police said they were responding to a domestic disturbance just before midnight on 5th Street. They say that a man on the scene was upset and an altercation took place. Police say that a Lumberton officer then shot and killed the man. He later died from his injuries. This afternoon, we're working to learn the name of the person who was killed and the officer involved. Lumberton police are saying that the State Bureau of Investigation is looking into what happened, which is standard procedure when something like this happens.
Certainly more to come on that, Brian. Thanks. Immigrant rights activists will gather at the state legislature today to speak out about a controversial bill. Activists are pushing back against House Bill 10, the Require Sheriffs to Cooperate with ICE bill, passed the House last month. It would require local sheriff's offices to check the immigration status of anyone they arrest and hold them in jail, even if they bond out, as long as ICE agents want to talk to them. Opponents say it is rooted in xenophobia and racism.
Now is your chance to land a new job with TSA at RDU. The agency is holding a recruiting event for full-time and part-time positions. It's happening over the next 2 days at the DoubleTree by Hilton Raleigh-Durham Airport at RTP. You can stop by until 3 o'clock today and between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. tomorrow. The current starting hourly rate for positions is $18.38, and candidates are required to have two valid forms of state or federal identification. And taking a look at your stocks this morning, you can see the Dow Jones is down about 160 points. The S&P down about 36 points. This all comes as traders are waiting on some big numbers from big tech companies.
Happening now in the W Area Live Center tonight, the Carolina Hurricanes can wrap up their opening round series against the New York Islanders. The Canes taking a 3-1 series lead into Game 5 tonight. Listen to what a couple of the Canes had to say about tonight's game after winning on Sunday and how they can wrap up this series tonight.
Obviously, a big game. They got, you know, they're going to come out flying. Obviously, it's always hard to close teams out, so we got to have a good effort tonight and keep playing the way we've been playing at the start of the series.
It's desperate, like you said, and we got to find ways to match it and use our energy in our building and really just stick with the game plan that we've had from start.
You know, the Canes' win in New York Sunday was significant since they did not win a single road game during last year's playoffs. Well, the puck drops tonight at 7 at PNC Arena for Game 5.
And they'll be home. Don't remind us about that road thing, because if the Canes don't close it out tonight, Ken, Game 6 will shift back to New York on Friday. If a seventh game is needed, that would be played back here Sunday at PNC Arena. The times of those games have not yet been determined. Next at noon, liquid meth in tequila bottles. How many tons of it? Yeah, tons of it. The Mexican Navy found it a major bust.
Also, a roadside rescue in Connecticut. See how an off-duty officer jumped into action to help save a life.
Plus, evacuations continue in warring Sudan. Why the U.S. is not sending in planes to rescue Americans.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Harry Belafonte, the singer, actor, and wide-ranging activist, has died at the age of 96 of congestive heart failure. NBC's Dan Cheneman takes a look at the legend's life and career.
I'm on my way.
Harry Belafonte was primarily raised by his mother.
I admired the struggle that she made, and I saw in her the things that I should be, and especially with her guidance and counsel.
While he studied acting in New York, he turned to music and eventually developed his signature sound. His 1956 album, Calypso, was the first LP to sell more than 1 million copies within a year.
Stack banana till the morning comes.
He was soon nicknamed the King of Calypso. The singer soon moved to the silver screen.
How it works.
The actor then became an activist. Passionate about civil rights, Belafonte was a close confidant of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Beyond being deeply moved by his intellectual capacity, it was his humility and the kind of humanity he revealed whenever he walked into a campaign and was deeply concerned about whether or not he was doing the right thing, not morally, but tactically.
Belafonte never backed away from his commitment to social justice. He fought apartheid in South Africa and hunger on the African continent. He helped bring the biggest names in music together to record We Are the World. It raised millions for victims of famine.
I got the platform and opportunity to articulate a point of view that many Americans shared in people in the world, and I think I handled it with dignity and a certain kind of preciseness that I've not regretted.
Harry Belafonte, a life of purpose lived without regret. Dan Sheneman, NBC News.
Belafonte passed away in his Manhattan, New York home with his wife Pamela by his side.
An American woman could face up to 10 years behind bars for carrying a 24-karat gold-plated handgun in her luggage that was on a flight from Los Angeles to Sydney, Australia. The Australian Border Force released images of the handgun today. This is it. They say the 28-year-old woman did not hold a permit to import or possess a firearm in Australia. That country has some of the toughest rules on gun ownership, and it's illegal for a person to intentionally import firearms without prior approval. And the Mexican Navy has seized almost 10 tons of liquid meth hidden in bottles of tequila. They say more than 11,000 bottles of illegal drugs using sniffer dogs and a chemical identification system were found. The highly addictive stimulant usually takes the form of a powder or crystals. Traffickers often dissolve it to make it harder to detect during transport before it's made into crystals again for consumption.
An off-duty police officer jumped into action to help save a life. The Connecticut police lieutenant was driving home from the gym when he saw a big plume of smoke. Lieutenant Cornelius Rogers saw a vehicle on fire and another car on the side of the road. The video shows several people running in to help, and the lieutenant was one of them. He helped drag that person away from the car as the fuel started to ignite and move toward the car.
I think that's what it makes us human beings, is to make sure that you would, you know, be selfless and help others in a time of need.
Roger said his training and experience kicked in. This happened on the Gold Star Bridge, which is the largest bridge in Connecticut. The DOT is working to remove the soot off of that structure. State environmental crews are also working to clean up the mess below that bridge.
Wow. I mean, we say this all the time, but right place at the right time to help that man.
With the right kind of skill set as well.
Amazing. Absolutely. Well, turning to weather, it's a nice day for some baseball out there.
Yeah, they're playing early today. This is fun. Amy Wilmoth in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a view of the DBAP right there, and they're in action.
They are, and I'm here because Elizabeth is here at the DBAP. They had the Durham Bulls Education Day. She took the storm tracker out there. They have thousands of kids come to learn about all kinds of things, so that's where Elizabeth is right now, enjoying the beautiful weather and the baseball game. The Durham Bulls taking on Memphis right now. It's still a little cool outside. We're in the low 60s in Durham, 63 degrees there. It's 57 in Roxboro, 65 in Fayetteville. So pretty mild. The dew points are really low, down into the 40s. I'm showing you this just to show you that the air at the surface is pretty dry. We have a very, very weak disturbance that moves through late this evening. Maybe a couple of sprinkles, but that's about it. Overall, today is a pretty nice day. We'll get up to about 69 this afternoon, about 6 degrees cooler compared to normal. We'll have more clouds roll in this evening and just a slim chance for a couple of showers. A look at the cloud cover forecast. Mostly sunny throughout the day today, but then late today is when our clouds will start to thicken up a little bit. If you're headed to the Canes game, it's pretty nice weather for tailgating. At 5 o'clock, no rain, 67 degrees. At 8 and 10 o'clock, I introduced a 20% chance for a couple of sprinkles. That's about it. We'll be in the mid-50s by the time the game is over tonight. Here's a look at a high-resolution computer model. I'll show you why I added that 20% chance for some rain this evening. Here's 5 o'clock. We have the clouds around, no rain. But then watch what happens around 8 o'clock. Couple of sprinkles, light showers down here to the south. And the previous model run showed a little bit of rain as well. So we're introducing just a 20% chance for a shower this evening. It'd mainly be in our southern counties and probably just a couple of sprinkles. That's about it. Now this system, that's a different story. This one's going to dive down to the south and then move into North Carolina by Friday. And I think Friday is going to be a mess of a day. Friday morning at 8 o'clock, some showers possible, especially in the western half of the viewing area. So the second half of the morning commute, some showers will be possible. And then it's probably just going to be a rainy mess on Friday. At lunchtime, showers are likely. You see the yellows and the reds. We could have some pockets of heavy rain and some thunderstorms as well. We'll start to get high-resolution model data for Friday beginning tomorrow. Hope to nail down the timing. Right now, it looks like a pretty wet day on Friday. We're considering issuing a WRL weather alert day. We're going to hold off until we see some of those high-resolution models come in beginning tomorrow. Now, Saturday's looking dry, but Sunday we'll have some clouds around. And the first half of the day, this takes us through noon, is looking pretty dry. But look what happens Sunday in the evening. Rain moves in from the south, and it could be a pretty wet finish to the weekend. But Saturday right now looks okay for outdoor plans. Just a 20% chance for rain over the next few days with highs close to 70. Plan for showers and storms Friday, and then another wave will impact us the second half of the weekend. I'll show you how much rain we could get coming up in just a little bit.
All right, thanks, Amy. The Gun Violence Archives reports more than 430 people nationwide have been shot and killed by police this year. That's 24 times the number of officers who have been killed. Ahead on our News at 4, WREL data trackers dig into the numbers and find out how looser gun policies play a role.
Also pushed by lawmakers to eliminate taxes on overtime and bonus pay. How much more money workers could get and what chance the proposal has of becoming law? That story is at 5:30. Still ahead this noon, prepare for high tea Bridgerton style. How fans of the hit Netflix show can get a small taste of young Queen Charlotte's life.
And they look like any other pair of jeans, but once activated, they could save a life. How much this next generation of airbag protection will cost, that's later.
New at noon here in the WREL Live Center, reported assault of a student at Orange County High School. This incident reportedly happened yesterday. Here's what we've been able to confirm. The student described feeling a blow to the back of the during a late afternoon class change. The school nursing staff assessed that student, also contacted medical services. The Orange County Sheriff's Office is investigating it as a criminal matter. The student suspected of the assault has been identified and detained. Now, a crisis team is on campus today to provide counseling and support for the students and staff. Additional security is also at Orange County High School today. And according to the Sheriff's Department, there's no ongoing threat to that school community.
Thanks, Ken. Toyota's next Prius is set to hit dealer showrooms, and thousands of popular pickup trucks are being recalled. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
General Motors is recalling thousands of Chevrolet Silverado pickup trucks due to a fire risk. There's concern over a potential leak in brake fluid that could result in a fire. All the models are medium-duty pickups from model years between 2019 and 2023. The recall could affect as many as 40,000 Silverados. GM is advising owners of the trucks to park outdoors and away from structures until the recall repair is done. More than 2 million sledgehammers are being recalled because the head can loosen and detach unexpectedly. The hammers were made by Stanley Black & Decker. The recalled models include ones from DeWalt, Stanley Fatmax, and Craftsman Fiberglass. The hammers were sold at Home Depot, Ace Hardware, and online, including at Amazon. So far, there have been 192 reports of the sledgehammer's head detaching. Two of the reports include injuries to the face and head. Toyota's new Prius plug-in hybrid will start arriving in dealerships next month. The automaker is betting that plug-ins can serve as a bridge between gas-powered vehicles and electric vehicles. Plug-in hybrids can drive primarily on batteries with the engine as a backup that makes them somewhat close to a full EV. And the 2023 Prius Prime plug-in can drive up to 44 miles on the battery alone. The vehicle's starting price is about $33,400. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Bridgerton fans who want to live like Queen Charlotte can now get a small taste of her lifestyle. The Republic of Tea is expanding its partnership with the show and Netflix to offer a line of tea that's inspired by her character. The tea comes in three flavors: the Young Queen Charlotte Amethyst Berry Tea, the Young King and Queen Royal Celebration Black Tea, and the Young Lady Danbury Topaz Citrus Herbal Tea. The Queen Charlotte Collection Tea goes for $15 each, or as a set for $50. You can find them online or at World Market stores for a limited time.
Nations are scrambling to get their citizens from Sudan during a three-day truce, but the U.S. is not sending in planes for Americans. The reason, straight ahead. Plus,
some major road changes could be coming to the downtown area. Coming up, we're going to tell you about them and the event that's happening today where they want your feedback.
And as we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WREL News. Coverage you can count on.
Thanks for staying with us this noon. We have breaking news we're following out of Durham, where police are on the scene of a shooting near Miami Boulevard and US 70.
And WREL's Monica Casey just arrived on scene. Monica, what can you tell us?
Well, Michelle, this is a large police presence here behind me. We have vehicles from the sheriff's office, the Durham Police Department, and a state trooper also just pulled up here. I've counted about 15 total vehicles here. They're focused on this Four Seasons Auto Care car wash. That entire scene is roped off from one entrance all the way to the other. The caution tape has covered all of it. We've seen forensics on scene. They've been digging through trash cans. They've also been going inside the building here. There are a couple of cars behind the caution tape and some people there not in uniform that police have been speaking with. At this time, we are still working to gather more information about if anyone was injured and what the extent to those injuries might be. But again, a very large scene here. Now, we do want to let you know this is a busy road. You can see lots of cars going by right now. A small part of that right lane is blocked by all of these vehicles. So if you're driving in this area, you'll want to be aware of this scene here that's going to block some of that traffic. Michelle?
All right, Monica Casey reporting live in Durham. Thanks, Monica.
A temporary truce is in effect between Sudan's warring generals. This agreement comes as foreign governments continue evacuating their people from the country. Greg Palcott explains why the United States is not sending in planes for Americans.
Sudan's rival factions agreeing to a three-day truce on Tuesday. The deal, brokered by the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, now sending countries scrambling to evacuate citizens. France, Germany, and the U.K. launched large-scale rescue missions this week. But after evacuating embassy personnel, U.S. officials say there are no plans to send planes to get Americans out as the situation on the ground deteriorates.
In the rearview mirror is Kabul and what took place there, and the administration doesn't want any repeat of that, any damage that would come as a result of a scene that could turn chaotic.
The State Department says it doesn't have an exact number of Americans living in Sudan, but thousands of people, many of them dual nationals, told officials they want to stay. Dozens of others, including aid workers and teachers, want to leave. U.S. officials are now working to secure their safe travel via land evacuation routes.
Those efforts include providing intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance capabilities and positioning naval assets off the coast of Sudan should they be needed.
Despite the evacuations, international leaders say they are still working to secure an end to the fighting. There's an urgency to do so as UN officials warn of a humanitarian crisis.
Before this crisis, Sudan hosted more than 1 million refugees and 3.7 million were internally displaced. Assistance programs that were already overstretched are now severely hampered.
That was Greg Palcott reporting. And since fighting broke out this month, several previous ceasefires have been ignored.
The Department of Homeland Security is warning about possible attacks by violent domestic extremists. The agency says extremists have stepped up sharing of online messaging and operational guidance promoting attacks against U.S. power substations. That's over the past year. You may recall that tens of thousands of people lost power in Moore County back in December after Duke Energy substations were damaged by gunfire. According to the FBI, some of the threats have come from people who look to create civil disorder and inspire further violence. And the State Department of Labor is investigating this morning after a newly built building collapsed, leaving four people hurt. It happened in Wake Forest on Monday. Sky 5 flew over that scene as emergency crews were there. You can see a home under construction. This is on Wexford Pond Way. EMS officials say one of four people taken to Wake Med had serious injuries.
Big changes could be coming for a busy part of downtown Raleigh. Today, you can get a look for yourself at the plans for Person and Blunt Streets. WRL's Naya Harden explains what to expect from this potential major redesign.
Some of the biggest changes are going to be making a one-way into two-way streets like you see here and adding roundabouts. The city has said they want to make Blunt and Person Street the area safer for drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians. Moving from a one-way street to a two-way traffic street, and then you've got better bike lanes that they want to do, adding two roundabouts, reducing some parking. The city is proposing spending $9 million on the project. The city's online survey already has more than 600 responses. Now, this discussion follows after changes have already been aimed to improve safety downtown, including no turns on red lights. Tonight's feedback is going to be at the Tarboro Road Park. You'll be able to attend that at 6 o'clock this evening. And if you can't attend that, you'll still be able to fill out the survey. You can do that on the city's website until May 7th. And we have that information for you on the WRAL News app. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
The Wake County Public Schools Board could approve its latest capital improvement plan today. The board is expected to vote on the plan during its meeting tonight at 5:30. And the new plan is an update to the one that was approved last year, adding a seventh year onto the end of it. It would cost $2.7 billion in county funding, up from $2.6 billion for last year's version of that plan. The plan is already funded for the next two full school years through the 2022 approved bond.
Research Triangle Park is getting a new addition. SunTech is holding a ribbon-cutting ceremony today for its new, larger headquarters in Morrisville. SunTech Medical focuses on blood pressure products and technologies in an effort to improve patient care. The ceremony begins at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Just ahead for us, the man who shot and killed Breonna Taylor is in the door at another police department. Her mother's reaction to the change.
Was a toddler on the train tracks. How an engineer saved his life. It is just a day at the beach for some, but not many. At least not in this picture anyway. Live at Wrightsville Beach, this is your look. A little cloudy, a little cool breeze off of that cold water right there as you watch WRAL News. Available on Hulu and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
Jury selection is now underway in Manhattan in the Trump rape lawsuit. John Carroll, a longtime columnist for Elle magazine, says Trump attacked her in a dressing room of a luxury department store back in the 1990s and sexually assaulted her. If Carroll wins, it would be the first time Trump has been held legally responsible for a sexual assault. She's suing him under the Adult Survivors Act, which is a 2022 New York law that gave a one-year window for people to sue their alleged assailants, even if the statute of limitations had expired. Five of the people accused in the mass shooting at an Alabama Sweet 16 party are expected in court today. Two 20-year-olds who were charged in the shooting will face a judge today. A 19-year-old, 17-year-old, and 16-year-old will also be in court. The shooting on April 15th left four people dead and 32 others hurt. A 15-year-old who is also charged will not be part of today's hearing. All six suspects are facing four counts of reckless murder.
The former Louisville police officer who shot and killed Breonna Taylor as she slept in her apartment has been hired by another nearby police department. Carroll County Sheriff's Office recently hired Miles Cosgrove. Cosgrove was one of the three officers who fired their weapons during a raid on Taylor's apartment in a night in March of 2020. Cosgrove fired more than a dozen times, including the fatal bullet that killed Taylor. He has not faced any criminal charges related to the shooting. Taylor's mother was livid when she learned of his new position in law enforcement.
I can't understand why you would want this type of person to work in your department. I'm scared for the people of Carroll County.
Cosgrove's new job is located about 50 miles from Louisville. There have been calls for protest, but so far no large demonstrations have materialized.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, we're going to take you to these live pictures coming into the newsroom right now out of this suburb of Chicago. This is the Lamont suburb of Chicago. That's an explosion at a petroleum plant there. According to the Illinois Sheriff's Department, one person died and one person was injured in this explosion. You can see all the damage there from these aerial pictures. We're working to find out exactly why this explosion happened. This is a developing story that we'll continue to track here in the WRA Live Center.
MTA workers save a toddler stuck on the train tracks in New York. An engineer spotted the boy alongside the tracks and slammed on the brakes. Then conductor Marcus Higgins jumped out of the train to help get him to safety. The toddler climbed over the third rail and was only saved by the wooden safety plank on top of it. Back at the station, the child was reunited with his mother, who had been searching for him for more than an hour.
Similar scanning features that prevent strangers from unlocking our phones are now being applied to guns. The designer responds to questions about possible hacking. That story after the break.
And the next generation airbag protection is here. How this modern fashion tech could make riding safer for yourself or your loved ones. Face scanning features on our phones help prevent strangers from getting access to our private information. And now similar technology is being applied to guns to help keep people safe. Jackie Ibanez takes a look.
A Colorado-based company hopes its new firearms will help keep people safe. BioFireTech says its guns use fingerprint and facial recognition technology that only lets authorized users fire the weapons.
Firearms are now the leading cause of death for children and teenagers in America, and a big portion of that is gaining access to firearms in the home, right? Whether it's children with accidents, teenagers using firearms to commit suicide.
The company's CEO says many gun owners who have a firearm for self-defense like to have it readily available in case of an emergency.
Millions of Americans have made deliberate choices to keep loaded and unsecured firearms near their bed, you know, where they may be in reach of children, et cetera. Because in practice, it's very, very, very challenging to get access to a firearm out of a gun safe in any sort of real-world kind of home invasion situation.
BioFireTech believes its safety features will still let gun owners quickly access their firearm while preventing injuries or death if the gun winds up in the wrong hands.
As soon as the user starts to interact with the firearm, it immediately wakes up, recognizes their biometrics using our Guardian biometric system, and then stays unlocked for as long as they're holding on to it.
But in today's high-tech world, some gun advocates wonder whether the finger and face sensors could potentially be hacked. The company says this can't happen because the recognition systems have no Wi-Fi connectivity.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. BioFireTech is now taking orders for its 9mm handguns. The company expects to start shipping to customers who pre-order them by the end of this year.
We've reported before about inflatable jeans designed to protect motorcycle riders if they get in an accident. Well, now they're available to the public. The MoCycle jeans look like almost any pair of pants, but once activated, the airbags installed in the jeans inflates, and the CO2 cartridge inside the pants inflates those airbags once a rider falls off their bike. The jeans self-deflate a couple minutes later. They're 100% reusable just by reloading a CO2 cartridge. And you can even wash them. Just remove the airbag first. The MoCycle jeans cost $550, with shipping expected next month.
Yeah, that's an expensive pair of jeans. But you know what? If it can save a life, worth every penny.
Priceless.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Amy Wilmuth in the WRO Severe Weather Center right now with what's happening there in the next few hours.
Pretty good weather out there today. It's 63 degrees. We'll stay dry most of the day. Maybe a couple of sprinkles in our southern counties late this evening, but most of you will stay dry. We are seeing some more clouds. You're seeing the trees blow there. This is a live look at our Jimmy V's cam. Our high temperature today should get up to about 69 degrees, so staying pretty mild. A look at the visible satellite shows us where we're seeing the clouds. And for the first half of the day, we had really nothing but sunshine, but we're seeing those clouds develop. So we're starting to see a little bit more gray to the sky, and eventually we'll have some rain. We're tracking a few systems that could bring waves of rain, and they're going to go right where these arrows are taking them. The wind streams will take them right over North Carolina by the end of the week, and then another round on Sunday. So we have 2 days with some pretty good rain chances, and unfortunately, it's right over the weekend. We don't really need the rain. We're doing okay in the rain department. Where you see the blues and the greens, we have above normal rainfall, and we've had several weekends with rain. This would be the eighth in a row that we're dealing with rain. It looks like we're going to get some. This is a look at how much rain we could get through Sunday. I think our best rain chance is going to come Friday and then the second half of the day Sunday. Anywhere from about 2 to maybe 3 inches of rainfall possible for most of us. As you get to Greenville and closer to the coast, maybe 1.5 to 2 inches. If you go west toward the mountains, they could get anywhere from 3 to maybe 4 inches of rainfall. So I do think we're going to get some significant rain with these waves that are going to move through late this week and into the weekend as well. Right now, we have some fairly dry air at the surface. That's going to change, especially by the time we get to Friday. Heading into Wednesday, high pressure is still the main weather feature. It's still pretty dry. We've got about a 20% chance for rain. Same thing for Thursday. And then notice on Friday, these greens moving in from the south. We will have an increase in humidity. There will be more moisture in the atmosphere for this warm front to work with. And I would expect widespread rain through the day on Friday. So enjoy the next few days. Just a 20% chance for rain today, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll have a mix of sun and clouds. At times, it'll be brighter than others. But then Friday gets here, and we have an 80% chance for showers and storms. We could have some pockets of heavy rain Friday. And right now, the model data that we have, it suggests that it could rain almost all day. So for the morning commute, at lunchtime, and during the evening commute. We'll get some high-resolution model data for Friday starting tomorrow. So be sure to keep checking back in. Now, Saturday is the pick day over the weekend because we just have a 20% chance for rain with highs close to 70. So outdoor activities should be fine Saturday. Sunday in the morning, I think we're okay. But then by the afternoon and evening, we have a 60% chance of showers and storms. It'll be warmer with a high temperature of 74. So pretty quiet for the next few days. But then Friday, very, very unsettled with rain likely. And then again, Sunday, that next wave will impact us for the second half of the weekend.
That there's somebody turning blue in my arms. And I needed to do something.
Coming up, two TSA officers jump into action after a pilot goes into cardiac arrest. How their quick actions helped save a life.
And here are your winning Powerball numbers. 19, 21, 55, 66, 68. The Powerball is 3 and the Power Play multiplier is 2. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. The man charged in a kidnapping that triggered an Amber Alert last night is due in court in about an hour. Chapel Hill police say Dustin Oakley stole a car at Eastgate Shopping Center. There was a 5-year-old girl in the back of the car. The driver had gone into a business. Police found the little girl safe at a gas station about an hour away in Harnett County. Oakley was arrested early this morning.
And we're working to learn more about a situation in Robeson County where an officer shot and killed a man. Lumberton police say they were responding to a domestic disturbance just before midnight on 5th Street. They say a man on the scene was upset and an altercation took place. Lumberton police officer shot and killed a man who later died. The FBI is investigating. That's protocol when an officer is involved in a shooting.
President Biden has made it official this morning. He said he's running for re-election. He released a video announcement on social media. In it, Biden says it's time to finish the job he started.
An airline pilot is recovering from cardiac arrest after the quick actions of several people, including two TSA officers. The officers were in the middle of a security operation at Richmond International Airport when they noticed the pilot looking unwell.
I was doing a security operation with one of my lead TSOs, Trenard Collier. He had noticed that a pilot was leaning over the railing, and he asked me if he was about to pass out, and the next thing you know, he hit the ground.
And that is when Allen, who you just heard from, ran and grabbed the AED. At the same time, a fire chief arrived on that scene and used the equipment to bring a pulse back to the pilot's heart. The pilot's family expressed their deepest appreciation for Officer Allen's help and everyone that was involved.
Carrie Fisher is being honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on a very appropriate day. She'll get her posthumous honor on May the 4th, because that's Star Wars Day, of course. Fisher had a long career that included 3 Emmy nominations for TV roles, but she'll always be known as Princess Leia in the Star Wars franchise. Her star will be located across the street from the star dedicated to her legendary mother, Debbie Reynolds, and near her co-star's star, Mark Hamill.
Our pet of the day is a sweet senior girl. She's blind, but that doesn't stop her from being happy and active. This is Ladybug. She's 24 pounds of pure love and is a world-class snuggler. Ladybug gets along great with other dogs and is well-behaved in her crate. Despite her lack of sight, she's a pro at walking on a leash and can navigate around obstacles with a few cues from her human. To learn more about Ladybug, you can visit trybeagles.org.
Little Ladybug.
I know, she's cute. All right, NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.